racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee. Ole, ole, ole. That's the predominant chant here this week. Yes, the Grill Room is in Europe, just outside of Paris for the Ryder Cup. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. Missing from the scene, Jay Randolph Jr., unable to make it due to prior commitments. So what do? I go to Google. I make a request for talent. They pop up a list from very expensive to least expensive. I go to extra least expensive, and they pop up the name Rupert Bell. Rupert joining me here in Media Center at the Ryder Cup. Thanks for coming in. Google has quite a thing going, but maybe with a good performance today, you'll be able to up your rating.
Well, from what? From 1 cent to 2 cent. So thank you very much, Bob, for that overwhelming introduction. But it is delighted to have you over in Europe and delighted to be witnessing the first Ryder Cup on French soil at this most extraordinary golf course, Le Golf National. Really a privilege to be here for the week.
You know, I've really been taken aback by the media center, the unbelievable grandstand surrounding the first tee. It seems like the French government and the powers to be here really want to put on a show. And certainly looks like everything is in place.
Well, yes, and clearly they have done. This venue started back in the early 90s, but was always seen as a potential Ryder Cup venue. The way it was designed back then, with its banks of around the fairways, natural amphitheatres, and that's why it's been embraced. They've then added to it with this extraordinary first green structure of a grandstand, first tee grandstand, 6,500 people it will hold, the raucous atmosphere that will generate. The first tee is now an iconic part of the Ryder Cup atmosphere, and that's why this week is bubbling up nicely. The French have embraced this, huge crowds, and clearly this is a very special venue.
And it's going to be awfully noisy when those players get to that first tee. Well, before we get focused in on the Ryder Cup, we have to talk about the Tour Championship and the incredible performance by Tiger Woods to win his first tournament in 5 years, and the incredible FedEx Cup, which was won by Justin Rose. Rose, he gets the number one after the BMW Championship, and then he wins, in 2 weeks later, wins that FedEx Cup with $10 million. Absolutely incredible. Justin Rose just about locked down his invitation to the World Golf Hall of Fame, along with that Open title and that Olympic gold medal. But right now, let's hear from Tiger, where his win ranks in the long list of 80 victories on the PGA Tour. And listen closely, you'll be able to hear the emotion in Tiger's voice.
It's certainly up there with obviously all the major championships I've won, players, World Golf Championships. But this is under different circumstances, you know. I've explained throughout the year that I just didn't know whether, you know, when this would ever happen again, or if I could somehow piece together a golf swing, you know, this year, I feel like I could do it. My hands are good enough, and I just didn't know if I could, you know, piece together a golf swing, but somehow I've been able to do that, and it means a lot. It really does.
Well, it means a lot, that's for sure. Rupert, were you in the camp of Tiger's never going to win again, or did you have some faith that he would get the job done?
I thought he might win again, but I didn't think he'd win quite so soon. I'm not sure whether he will win a major again. That's still a question that's open to debate. But clearly what he's done, he's defied logic, and it was the manner of victory. And I happened to be at Charlotte Airport. I'd been covering an event in America, different from a different sport, and I was traveling back to get here to the Ryder Cup. And what I couldn't fail to notice was every television in the lounges at Charlotte Airport, everyone wasn't watching the NFL, but was watching Tiger's progress on the way to that victory. And that just sums up the magnitude of the impact that he has away the from the confines of the dedicated golf fans, which obviously the sport rolls on week to week. He does transform the sport, and anything he does gets the casual observer fascinated, and that is what he brings to the game of golf, and that's why it is important. And I think it was a message to the young guns that the master is back and going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I think it's pretty interesting that the equestrian event that you were covering, I asked them where they got their talent. They said they went to Google and they chose the least expensive option. So we have a lot in common.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bob, for those positive words. Well, I was being so nice about Tiger Woods for a change. And I must tell the dear listeners about the lovely question that Bob asked
that'll
later.
That'll be coming up in just a moment. Don't worry about that. Right now, let's listen to Justin Rose, his thoughts after winning $10 million.
That's PGA Tour royalty, I guess. You know, if you win the FedEx Cup, that's sort of that's what it means. Whenever you win over the course of a season, it just gives it something extra. It gives it something special. It's very unique. And I wasn't able to win the tournament this week, but I was able to win the season. And this opportunity only presents itself if you play very, very good golf for a long period of time through the course of a season. So I'm proud to have taken my chance this year.
Justin Rose, very happy with that added $10 million in that bank account. Well, Tiger was brought into the media center earlier this week. I decided to let Tiger know how much I felt what he accomplished on Sunday was good for anybody in the world of golf. Any business was made better by that Tiger victory. His response to my question?
Thanks, Bob. You know, it's, you know, there's been a lot of you who have supported me, you know, through a lot of the years, and many have doubted that I'd play golf again and win again. So I want to say thank you to all the people that have supported me.
All right, Rupert, you seem to be of the opinion that maybe I went a notch too far in expressing my appreciation.
Well, obviously we've worked together over a long year, and I know you've been the number one supporter of Tiger on the radio station that you contribute to in the UK Talk Sport, and much has made of your love affair with Tiger. But I get the sentiment of what you asked there is absolutely right, because we have to, as golf journalists and sports journalists, appreciate what he brings. And as I alluded to, the fact that he is a much broader athlete than just being a golf athlete in what he brings to the sport. And I think we have to appreciate it, because the TV ratings were supposed to be through the roof. Suddenly people are wanting to talk about golf and Tiger. That's what he brings. He is a different beast when it comes to the profile, and we all and the sport of golf has to thank him for coming back, because he puts the sport on the front pages.
And let me give a perfect example of what I was alluding to, not just fans, but anybody connected to the golf business in any way, shape, or form. Monday, after that victory on Sunday, we've been staying at a very nice house in Augusta to cover the Masters, become friends with the family, regular customers. Monday, Janice Self, the executive producer of the Grill Room, gets a phone call from the owners, just verifying that we're going to want the house again, because the housing demand in Augusta just this past Monday skyrocketed.
And I can understand that. And obviously, Augusta is a very different tournament. It is the first major of the year. There will be an extra dimension knowing that Tiger is back, and if his form holds up and his fitness holds up coming into Augusta with a slightly revamped season, we'll see how he will get on at the the Players Championship at Sawgrass. So the whole thing will be ramped up, and clearly I assume Janice has booked you your accommodation and said yes, please, because you won't even be able to afford 1 cent to get me on the Grill Room, because your budget will be blown. So I suggest, I hope she's booked the accommodation, but it is fantastic, because yes, the one Masters I've been to was when he held that dramatic putt where the ball held on forever back in 2005. And it will be one of the defining memories of in Augusta history. And if he goes and wins it again, I think it might even surpass the moment when Nicholas won it back in 86.
Well, don't worry about affording you. I'm in correspondence with Google. They're going to revamp, maybe lower what they charge to have you available. All right, let's talk Ryder Cup. Rupert Bell, great captains, Jim Furyk, Thomas Bjorn. You know, there's not a lot between these two teams. And, you know, is it going to come down to the home soil being enough of an edge for Europe to win again?
Well, the support is different from America. And obviously, we've got huge numbers of French golf fans coming here. One or two of the players alluded to it's more of a sports fans than perhaps in Britain, where there'd be more traditional golf fans. So it'll be different. But I do think it does come down to an element of captaincy. While it is a question of picking the right combinations and managing your team correctly. Fine, it's all talk now, but from the moment the pairings are announced, that's when the captain has seriously earning his money. And as a result, I think Bjorn is a player much respected by his teammates. Jim Furyk comes with plenty of experience and know-how, but is he the guy who can make the tough call? That's going to be a test for both of them. And I don't think Darren Clarke made the right call and was, I think, an indifferent captain from a British perspective. It's interesting that he's not even here this week. He's playing in a seniors event over in the States. So I think he wasn't the expected good captain. It was always a tough act to follow on from McGinley, who was probably the perfect captain. But interestingly, Bjorn is like McGinley in that he's not necessarily a high-profile player in terms of his winning majors, but my goodness me, their attention to detail seems to be impeccable.
Well, last night the festivities got underway with a big gala at the Palace of Versailles. Rupert Bell and I were there. Well, we were in the vicinity of the palace. I want to make that accurate.
We could see it.
We were out on the sidewalk, and if we looked over that massive fence, we saw the celebration.
Bobby, we were going, please let me in, please let me in.
I had no chance. No, I really didn't have a chance of getting in there, but we tried. You know, one of the big decisions amongst the players when they play that alternate shot is what golf ball do they use? Sometimes the partners use two completely different type of golf ball, and it could be a problem. So we asked Tiger how he handles that situation.
You know, some of the golf balls spin more than others. You know, I play a very spinny golf ball, whereas others play a ball that doesn't spin as much. So there is some adjustments to be made. You know, the most important thing is who's ever hitting the iron shot into the green, that's the guy, that's the ball you're playing with off the tee. Because you don't want a player to have to adjust his iron game and the distances he's hitting. And sometimes you got to make an adjustment on par fives, whether you go 4-2 or not. And if the guy's hitting we know you're going to get to a par five in three. Well, if that's the case, then the guy's hitting the wedge shot, obviously hitting the tee shot, so you're going to play that ball.
So a little thought goes into selecting the proper golf ball.
Well, a little thought, but Tiger's foursomes record's pretty indifferent, isn't it? His four ball record compared, well, his Ryder Cup record's not, it's a losing one, 13, 17, and some halves along the way. So he's not a stellar, and it'll be interesting if how he does cope playing with other in foursomes. If he's will, though, and this is the big question you have to ask for Jim Furyk, is he going to risk him three or four times before the singles, even if there are concerns, and there have been the odd moment about his back, saying the other day before the team photo he looks stiff, and maybe there are some issues. So I don't know. I mean, Jim Furyk, that's where he's going to have to make the right captaincy call. What does he do with Tiger? Has he going to say, right, I'm not going to play you every time. You've got to be prepared to sit this out. And that's something he's going to have to manage, because obviously there's a degree of expectation on Tiger Woods this week.
Yeah, it's a great question. We don't know whether he'll play three, four, or five. I doubt it will be five. Patrick Reed handled the pressure at Hazeltine wonderfully well. We wanted his thoughts on just that pressure situation.
It's awesome to be here, and the golf course is absolutely perfect. It's in perfect shape. Fairways are nice and narrow, rough's really thick, so it's going to be one of those golf courses that it's going to be take premium on ball striking in all aspects of the game, because you're going to get a couple of bad bounces here and there. You're going to end up in some spots you're not supposed to, and it's going to all come down to who can manage your game the best, who can handle mentally the bad breaks as well as the good breaks to go out and succeed and play well.
Patrick Reed thrives under Ryder Cup pressure. A lot of pressure is going to be on Phil Mickelson. He was a captain's pick. We wanted to know from Lefty how the course will play, especially on the greens.
It's a wonderful test of golf. The setup is as good as it could possibly be. It's just in pristine, immaculate shape, and yet provides a very good challenge that's a fair challenge. I think it's a wonderful test. And at Hazeltine, you saw a lot of birdies. You saw a lot of aggressive play, and I think you'll see less aggressiveness, more conservative tee to green, but once you get on the greens, they're a little bit flatter, and you can really make putts here. You can be aggressive from 20 to 40 feet. I think you're going to see a lot of putts made, and that'll be most likely the difference.
Your thoughts, Ruby?
Well, hearing Mickelson again, what a record. He's now relying on a captain's pick, and his form has been a little iffy coming in, but will he find a way of sort of, rounding off his Ryder Cup career, because probably this might be the last time he's actually in as a player. Can he end this losing drought on European soil? And that would be, and he can make a contribution. I do think at the moment that he's perhaps maybe the weaker link in the team, but he might be inspired. Whereas Patrick Reed, we're hearing from him, Captain America, who's going to relish the bad boy aspect of his character when the crowd's geeing him. He responds to all that. But Phil Mickelson, yeah, great to see him here. What a record in terms of making the team consistently. Okay, this is the first time that he's had to rely on the generosity of the captain. So there's a bit of pressure on him to justify that, because what we saw, remember, in Hazeltine, as far as the Europeans were concerned, Lee Westwood, who was a captain's pick, had an absolute shocker because he was a mate of Darren Clark and he didn't actually deliver that week. And that's no disrespect to Lee Westwood prior to that. He just, form wasn't good enough. And now, for Phil Mickelson, he's got to justify and prove a worthy member of his side.
Well, Justin Rose, certainly the focus of a lot of attention. And the question we posed to Justin, what about the crowds?
Well, I definitely hope to benefit. I think it's a very intense environment to be playing away from home. And I think the one thing the Ryder Cup does is it attracts a sports crowd, not necessarily a golfing crowd. Here in Paris, I don't know, I heard 40% of the crowd are French, and maybe 25% English, and the rest is a mix. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamic out there in terms of how that feels for us. And, I would welcome an atmosphere that's more of a sports crowd and a bit more raucous and a bit more as we face it in America. I think that would be fantastic to play in front of, and it'd be a lot of fun.
So Justin Rose, obviously counting on the crowd to be that 15th club in the bag.
Well, absolutely, and I think they will be, and they have been, and that's the difference on every... It gives you a plus point. And, the Americans went back home, they were relishing and supporting them, and sometimes vociferously, and I think we'll see the same again. And I think the crowd will be energized right from the start, and I think the Europeans will feed off that. And given that some of the players have talked about coming off a long run of tournaments, the ones who can respond to the crowd best of all will be the winning team. There's going to be 7% of the crowd are going to be Americans, so you'll hear plenty of American sport in the crowd, but clearly the Europeans should be able to feed off that extra dimension that hopefully can make them sink those 40-foot putts that Phil Mickelson was alluding to.
All right, joining us here in our Ryder Cup perch as we're getting closer to the first tee ball in the air. That'll be coming Friday morning, bright and early. Russell Hargraves from TalkSport 2, a gentleman that I'm proud to be working with on TalkSport 2 this week and throughout the course of the year. Every opportunity I get to talk to Russell, it's a fun time. Russell, your thoughts as we get to the eve of this Ryder Cup. Any surprises for you, or is everything pretty much what you expected?
It's pretty much what I would expect, Bob, and I just think, more than anything, the way, I know you've been talking about this a fair bit already, but this course has been set up, just had a proper look around the whole place and got the wonderful feel for the 18th and the drama and the cauldron and the tension I can imagine circling around there come the next few days. The amazing cauldron, the amazing arena that is the first green as well. Just the way that this course has been set up on a beautiful day like this as well. The Parisians very much with their A game, and let's hope the players deliver themselves and we get prepared for the Battle Royal to commence as well. It's been wonderfully set up and really, really looking forward to watching it all play out over the next 3 days, my friend.
You know, Russell, earlier in the show, I was bragging about the media center. It's not only efficient, it looks great. You're a veteran of quite a few media rooms. Your thoughts on the facility they provided us to do our job this week?
I think it's been absolutely superb. It's probably the biggest media tent I've ever been in. We obviously go around the world and often sit in these things, and they're always well planned and well put together, but this one is certainly on another level. And Bob, I really hope that the golf will be on another level as well. And you just look at how this Ryder Cup is poised, you look at the quality of the American team, the fact they are the narrow bookies favourites, I think is fair enough when you consider everything they bring to the table. But under Thomas Bjorn, the European team is also a fearsome one. It's got a good blend, hasn't it? The players over 35, seven of them, the five rookies, some that have shone in Ryder Cups prior and others still with a little bit of a point to prove, maybe someone like a Paul Casey coming back into the fold. Each of the 24 names, the 12 red, the 12 blue on the scoreboard in front of us that's waiting to burst into life, has a bit of a story to tell, and the tapestry's certainly been woven in the build-up. Can't wait to see, as I say, how it plays out come Friday morning on TalkSport 2. We've got live commentary of the whole event, which I can't wait to be a big part of.
Well, before we let you go, Russell, one sad aspect, as far as I'm concerned, I always get this feeling leading up to the start of any Ryder Cup. We have two captains, Thomas Bjorn, Jim Furyk. One of those goes home Sunday, not being a winner. It's tough to swallow.
It is very tough to swallow, and I'm still so torn on how this one's going to go. We know all about the American record away from the States being, let's be honest, pretty desperately poor. We know about the Europeans and their desperate nature to fight back from what happened in Hazeltine a couple of years ago. I've been saying Team USA narrowly in the build-up. I'm starting to waver on that and wonder if the Europeans could do it, but I'll stick with my gut, and I'm going to say your boys.
For now, let's take a short commercial break.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Joining us now, a gentleman that has been at TalkSport basically since the inception. We've had a wonderful working relationship. His name is Mike Beauville. He's a program director for TalkSport 2. And the reason I wanted to have you come on the show, Mike, is to talk a little bit about the logistics. I mean, TalkSport does events literally all over the world, and it just seems like, you know, the listener turns on the radio and hears the program, but it's not quite that easy. give our listeners some of the logistical problems that you have to go through whenever you're setting up a remote broadcast.
Well, do you know what, Bob? It's probably not so much the logistics around the sport itself, because that's relatively straightforward. It tends to be everything else that goes with it. And one of the things that, funnily enough, with a radio station with a name like TalkSport, we spend a lot of time talking about the sport away from the actual 90 minutes of a football match or 4 days of an Open Championship, or in the case of the Ryder Cup, this coming Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's everything that's happening around it, and from a logistical point of view, that's always far more tricky. The last time I was here in Paris was 2 years ago for the European Football Championship, where TalkSport broadcast all 48 matches live. And again, that's the easy bit. That's the bit we enjoy doing, getting into a football ground, plugging in a microphone, talking about a game of football. That's easy. It's having all the rest of our output effectively from 6 in the morning through till midnight, 1 a.m., also coming from venues around France. That was the tricky bit. And the scale of the production, the number of people that we had out here, you know, we sent the best part of 30 people out to Russia for the FIFA World Cup in the summer. And here in Paris for the Ryder Cup, it would be lovely if it was just a few of us here at the golf course in the media centre. And we're working with our colleagues at Ryder Cup Radio to take the commentary feed and just, you know, you're providing the updates for TalkSport. We're taking the full commentary on TalkSport too. It's nice and easy. But we have no fewer than 7 other radio shows from 4 different presenters coming from in and around Paris, both in the build-up to the Ryder Cup. We've been here for a few days, haven't we? And then also across the weekend. It tends to be those bits that cause the headaches, not the golf itself.
You know, Mike, we were having dinner last night, which thoroughly enjoy every opportunity we get to sit down and break bread together. But you brought up that one aspect this week you have to worry about is the French labor laws. I mean, you have to comply with the labor laws of the country that you're broadcasting from. I thought that was fascinating.
That's right. And it's not anything we've really experienced before, and it does create some issues. So, for example, Bob, got to make sure that you have a nice long hour-long lunch break. Not necessarily a problem, I have to admit. There's it's relatively straightforward to get you to take your breaks, and well-deserved they are too, because you are up first thing in the morning and you're broadcasting until last thing at night. And it's just the French government are very mindful. They have very, very strict labour laws in this country. And everybody who comes here as a visitor, it's interesting, in the UK at the moment, we're having the big debate about Brexit and whether Britain, well, the UK has voted to leave the European Union and what that's going to mean. And you would think that something like labour laws would be a Europe-wide standard, but they're not. Here in France, much stricter than many other parts of the European Union, certainly a lot stricter than the UK and indeed the USA. And there are people doing spot checks here in the media centre to make sure that you can't work more than 7 days in a row. You have to take one day off during the week. And you can only work a certain number of hours per week. And an event like this, where they're going to be teeing off at 8:10 local time and not finishing, teeing off at 8:10 local time in the morning and finishing at 6 p.m. at night, and then everything, you know, finishing the round and getting all the interviews done and everything like that, summing up for the day. You know, you're going to be on air broadcasting for 10-12 hours. It's causing a headache, definitely causing a headache.
Well, I know one French official pointed out in my direction that they better go check to make sure I'm not working too hard. And the French official said, no, we got a scouting report on him. He's the last guy we have to worry about working too hard. But anyway,
that's not true.
Time is short. Mike Beauville, pleasure to have you. Real quick, like, who's going to win?
I think Europe are going to win.
You heard it from Mike Beauville. Europe's going to win. He said it on The Grill Room, an American radio show, fortunately heard around the world. So that would be a good pick. I just hope it's close. I think it will be. All right, that was Mike Beauville with his prediction. Want to bring in Rupert Bell once again and get his thoughts on who's going to prevail come Sunday afternoon.
I'm probably going to be a bit of heresy here. I'm going to desert the Europeans. I think the 25-year dominance on European soil will come to an end. I think the young guns of America will have the edge on the more experienced and slightly older European team. The lack of rookies, I think the young Americans are very impressive, and I think they will come out on top by 15 points to 13.
Really doesn't matter who wins, but we want it to go down to the 4 remaining single matches on Sunday. For now, let's take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we'll go to our Vertical Groove hotline and hear from MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
I can only assume my next guest feels like somebody that just lost a major election. His name is Alex Maselli. He's founder, publisher of Morning Read, a worthwhile project that he's headed up, and it's certainly an ideal place to go for anything golf. Of course, if you've been a loyal reader, you know that Alex Maselli had strong opinions about whether Tiger Woods would ever return to the winner's circle. So it's with great pride and pleasure, just days after Tiger getting the job done, that I welcome Alex Maselli to the Grill Room. That egg on your face does not look that good.
Well, Bob, I think it depends on what mirror you're looking at. I really have no problem with where I was and what I've said about Tiger. And the fact that he won, he did, and we're done, and we can move on. I mean, if you want to make a big deal out of it, that's fine. I noticed today in the press conference with Mr. Woods that you congratulated him and kind of was a little sycophant about it. And then Tiger actually returned the favor in regards to saying, thanks, Bobby. And, there are some people that were there at my side supporting me in the media. And then there were many that were not. And basically he was then saying, there you go, right in your, where. And you know what? That's great. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, we have opinions. And if we didn't have opinions, it'd be pretty boring.
I was kind of surprised in Tiger's response. I thought he would single you out and say, for example, Alex Maselli was firmly convinced and would tell anybody that would listen that it's never going to happen. But let's move on. Anyway,
I think we need to clear this up a little. If you're thinking that, A, Tiger's even thinking about Alex Maselli, and or B, I was the only one that took that position, you would be sadly, sadly mistaken, and I think you're aware of that.
I don't for a minute think you were the only one that took that position, but I am fully aware of the fact you were the leading one, the loudest voice, and probably more off the mark than anybody else. All right, transition, Ryder Cup coming up this week. This event, Alex, has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger.
Kind of like your waistline, isn't it?
Good point there. But it really is incredible, the magnitude of this competition.
Well, first of all, you're calling it a competition, and it's an exhibition.
That's true. Thank you for correcting me.
Second of all, I think what we have now is the European Tour and the PGA of America found a way to make the absolute most money possible off of 24 players. And I'm not criticizing them. I think you should always maximize the amount of income you can get off of any venture you're involved in. And this venture has become so big, I'm almost wondering at some point if it's going to get too big.
I would assume that there's going to be a point where it just can't get any bigger, and at a point where it probably wouldn't be desirable to get any bigger, because we always have to factor in, Alex, and you know this as well as anybody, there are only, a limited number of matches. So people wanting to see actual competition, you can't get that many people on just a couple of holes.
I think what they need to do, Bob, is to try to understand that and then try to figure out a way to make the experience so good, either in two cases. One, A, where people don't even leave their chalet because they're all together anyways, and they can maybe step out and see, you know, something on the 14th or 15th, but basically they don't have to leave their chalet to enjoy it. And then B is to take this experience somehow, some way, and bring it off-site. And if I think you can do that, and I can think of some ideas, but if you do that, then you are going to expand this base and be able to generate more revenue, because there is, as you said, there's only so much room out there. And this golf course is set up perfectly for that.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.
The favorite going into the 2018 Ryder Cup.
Well, I think the Americans are the favorite on paper. But you have to factor in the golf course. And when you factor in the golf course, I think it's basically an even match right now. I don't suggest either one is the favorite.
Isn't one sad aspect in reality of Ryder Cup is that both captains, Thomas Bjorn, Jim Furyk, your friends, good friends with both of them, that, you know, they've put their heart and soul into it, and then in reality, or at least 98% or 99% of the outcome is not going to be decided at all by what they do. It's going to be the performance of their players. Isn't it a sad fact that one of these two good guys is going to leave here not winning?
Right, and live with it. And, I mean, think about the players that have won as captains and the players that have lost as captains. I mean, you take Tom Lehman. I mean, Lehman was pretty much, you never saw him again. He was almost like absent. Hal Sutton, never saw him again. Corey Pavin, never saw him again. Yet on the same token, here's got Paul McGinley winning at Glen Eagles, and he's all over television, he's a big star, and so forth and so on. The loss of a Ryder Cup, even though, as you said, your control is very, very limited as a captain, is a huge thing. And it actually, no matter what anybody wants to say, it defines you in the remainder of your career.
And I know one thing we're going to hear Sunday night. I think you'll agree with me on this, and you don't agree with me on much, but we will hear the losing captain break it down simply by saying they made more putts than we did.
And that's always the case. The greens and how you play on the greens are a huge, huge thing, and these greens are very tricky to read, and it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the Americans. But I still think that in the end, they probably persevere. And I didn't think that earlier on, but I think now, by the depth that they have, I think that they probably will.
It's kind of fitting. You use the description, difficult to read. When people ask me about, tell me about Alex Maselli, I respond by saying, very difficult to read, but always a pleasure to have on the Grill Room. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Bobby.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.